darkness at thy speaking, it was done.
Welcome to Sermons from Zion Lutheran Church of Gwinner, North Dakota. Zion Lutheran Church is committed to the message of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins, for the church and the world. The following sermon is from Reverend Dr. Matthew Richard.
Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some said, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him. But others said, he is Elijah. And others said, he is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For it was Herod who had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to put him to death. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his nobles and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. For when Herodias' daughter came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it to you. And he vowed to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you, up to half of my kingdom. And she went out and said to her mother, for what should I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. And she came in immediately with haste to the king and asked, saying, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And the king was exceedingly sorry, but because of his oath and his guests, he did not want to break his word to her. And immediately the king sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. This is the gospel of the Lord. To him who loves us and has washed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. John the Baptist is a unique character. He offends our modern sensibilities. He is difficult to pin down, difficult to label. Every time that we read about him, it is apparent that we cannot tame him. John the Baptist's attire of camel hair and a leather belt definitely communicate a wild man prophet. His diet of locusts and wild honey are not found on most lunch menus as the daily special. His message of repentance and baptism, it echoes off of the wilderness and collides with our political correctness. His message cannot be sugarcoated. It cannot be sugarcoated, no matter how many layers of frosted sugar we apply to it. Thus, John the Baptist and his message, they offend. The offense then feels anger. Yet in the midst of this offense, there is a peculiar draw to him. For apart from everything that is undomesticated about him, deep down his message and straightforwardness, it hits us. It hits our conscience. And we find ourselves confessing that he is righteous and he is a holy man. As for being offended, and also at the same time being intrigued by John the Baptist, we actually find that this mixture of offense and this mixture of intrigue is the current situation in our gospel reading from the Gospel of St. Mark. Otherwise stated, there are two main characters in our gospel reading from this morning, Herod and his wife Herodias. They're intrigued. Yes, they are intrigued and outraged by John the Baptist. Herodias, on the one hand, was irritated by John and his message. In fact, she was so furious about John and his message that she wanted to have him tortured and killed. Herod, on the other hand, he found himself strangely attracted to John and his message. John the Baptist had a soft spot in his heart. In other words, Herod was perplexed by John's message, yet he enjoyed listening to him. Therefore, he protected John the Baptist from Herodias, that is to say, until he buckled under the pressure to have John killed, resulting in John's head being placed upon a platter. Even though we can be fascinated with the drama of today's gospel reading, this troubling story is actually a vivid reminder of what happens when the Word of God is proclaimed. Indeed, there is no more dangerous place on earth than a pulpit or when you proclaim the Word of God. The reason being, when the Word goes forth, the message of the Lord not only has a way of perplexing and interesting individuals, but also has a way of offending. This is so because the Word of God is truth. The truth, it resonates and it pricks the conscience, yet it offends at the same time. It offends the sinful nature. You see, the Word of God is living. It is living and active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word, it breaks through and it wounds. It takes away every ground of trust and ascribes redemption solely to the person and work and the blood of Christ. It pricks and it wounds the soul. What this means is that God's Word, it has aim. God's Word is not a reference book in a library that we occasionally pull off the shelf when we want information. There's nothing inert or bookish in these words of God. God's words, creating and saving words, every single one of them, they hit us where we live. These words, they get inside of us. They do their work on us as they implement their meaning on us. The Word of God, it works us over in order to show us our sin and show us Christ crucified for that sin. The Word, it grants us repentance and it gives us faith. Simply put, the Word of God, it invades the world of sinners because we are unfinished creatures requiring complex and extensive assistance in every part of our being. Indeed, the Bible is not content. It is not content to leave modern people as they are. It wants to convert and change you and me. Dear friends, the Holy Spirit, through the Word, must invade. The Word must continually function as the only source and rule and standard of the church's faith and practice. For apart from this Word, the world is left with counterfeit words and can do nothing. The Holy Spirit must always work in us through the Word, granting us daily forgiveness. It is undeniably needed for each and every one of us. Regarding all of what was just said, like Herodias and Herod, you and I and our neighbors, we resist this invasion of the Word. As church-going folks, many times we listen to the Word like it was any other triviality, and we keep coming back to church out of just mere custom. Otherwise stated, after the pronouncement of the benediction by the pastor, the words just roll off us like water off of a duck's back. And then we rush out the door to watch football at home. We are like little Herods who hear but really don't listen. We can hear the Word and it entertains us from time to time, but we resist it taking root. We're also like a little Herodias, who actually fight against the Word, wanting to have it our own way. The Word is preached, it offends us, therefore we end up criticizing the Word and demanding that it be stated in a more politically correct way to suit our own fancy. We will even decapitate the word in order to diminish potential blowback. When confronted by portions of the word that we disagree with, we say that we can't take the whole Bible serious, or we do what Thomas Jefferson did. We start cutting out the portions of the Bible that go against our modern eyes. Fear persecution, the lure to place harmonious relationships and friendships above truth, the yearning not to upset numerical church growth, and the narrative of tolerance all encroach upon us, tempting all of us to either one, shrug our shoulders at the word of God like Herod, or two, eliminate portions of it like Herodias in order to satisfy the mantras of the day. It really makes sense. It really makes sense why such preaching of the word put Jeremiah in the stocks, resulted in Isaiah being sawn in two, and resulted in John the Baptist losing his head. This is the way that it has been and will always be with the Word of God. When the Word of God, when it goes forth, whether from pastors or laypersons, it confronts and it collides with the lies that we believe. It collides with the lies formed by sin. It collides with the lies whispered into our ears by the devil. Truly, my friends, proclaiming the Word of God results in receiving a bull's eye upon the forehead so that the evil one in the world have something to shoot at. This is the way that it was for John the Baptist. Herodias was offended by John calling out her sin against the sixth commandment. As a result, Herod, not wanting to appear bad in front of his friends and not wanting the bull's eye placed on him, he honored a request from a frivolous promise that he made and had John the Baptist killed. This it appeased Herodias, and it relieved Herod of embarrassment. The convicting message from the man with the breath of sweet honey and locusts slaughtered. Herodias got her wish, a head dripping with the preacher's blood, slaughtered so that her conscience would not be offended, slaughtered so that she might obtain a feeling of being whole. Herod got his way too. Even though he was sad to see John dead, Herod was no longer in an awkward position of looking bad in front of Herodias and the fellow company. This is the way that it typically goes. The word, my friends, never achieves popularity in a world full of people who love lies and love the dark. Don't be surprised, dear friends, the world is hostile to God's word, and your sinful nature and my sinful nature is too. Indeed, the word is foolishness to those who are perishing, and it is foolishness to our old sinful flesh, that is our old Adam. And so it goes. John was preparing the way, giving his head for the head of the church, the one Lord Jesus Christ, who would soon be dead by another ruler's decree. And so it goes with Jesus Christ as well. Like John the Baptist, Jesus experienced the same fate. The Lord continually revealed that he was Israel's true shepherd. Through his ministry and teaching, he essentially triggers the conflict as his teaching and actions rubbed against the establishment and undercut their sense of control. The world, the evil one, and our flesh. These three things, they simply cannot handle the word. So we kill Jesus and those who profess him, beaten, bloodied, and crucified because of you and because of me. A decapitated dead body taken and placed in a tomb because his message was too much to handle, the death of John the Baptist. A crucified dead body taken and placed in a tomb because his message and his words were too much to handle, the death of Jesus Christ. This is where the path of the Christian faith leads, my friends. All roads lead to death. All roads lead to the cross for John, for Jesus, for you, and for me. Listen, my friends, Christ did not suffer so that you would not suffer. He wasn't crucified so that you would be spared the cross. He did not die so that you would not die. Oh, but hear the good news. Hear the good news. The good news of the gospel that is for each and every one of you. Christ was beaten. No doubt about it. He was beaten. He was bloodied. And he was crucified for you. Beaten for you who, like Herod, don't take the word of God to heart. Bloodied for you who, like Herodias, fight against and hold a grudge against the word of God. Crucified for you who, like John the Baptist, suffer persecution from the attacks of the world. Otherwise stated, Christ Jesus was beaten. He was bloodied. He was crucified and died so that in him, welded to his flesh in the heat of your baptism, you might be plunged into the same death and emerge alive again in his resurrection. Dear friends, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. Listen to the word today. Drop your defenses. Welcome the word that breaks through and takes away every ground of trust and ascribes salvation solely to Christ. Fear God, not man. Flee to Christ, who is not dead but alive, and who is the head of the church. Hear today. Christ was beaten. He was bloodied. He was crucified and resurrected for you. Do not doubt. Do not fear. You are forgiven. You are not a little Herod or a little Herodias. You are a baptized saint covered in the forgiving blood that dripped from Jesus' head. Yes, your sin will put you in the tomb. Ah, but the gospel places you in Jesus' tomb where Jesus has been raised. Where God has raised up for you a mighty Savior, a Savior not confined to death, but a Savior who lives and reigns today with you and for you as your Lord. With John the Baptist, do not fear the guillotine, but recline at the table of the life-giving Lord, for the resurrected Lord is with you. He is with you in this life. He is with you through death. And he's with you unto eternity. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast sermon. You can access a full manuscript of today's sermon from Pastor Matthew Richard's blog at www.pastormattrichard.org or visit Zion Lutheran Church's website at www.ziongwinner.org. The Lord bless and keep you.